Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Vedam ti ki, Grantharaj Shima Bhagavatali ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Tainitai Gopri Manandi ki.
So next.
Mahaprabhu is giving.
Okay. So next Monday we'll have the award ceremony for the Bhakti Vaibhav course. That will begin at 7 o'clock here in the theatre. So as you can see, the theatre's not very clean. So also the tables will have to be out. We won't have the tables in here. So can some devotees please come, say 6:30, get the tables out, just set up the chairs like that. We're going to make sure it's clean as well. Can you vacuum? Yeah, I've got to be here. Okay. Someone can take responsibility? You can do it, Corinne? Okay. Just make sure 6:30, everything's vacuumed and clean like that. You can even do it Monday during the day, if you need to. Just make sure it's all.
So it looks reasonable. Then we'll have the award ceremony.
Okay, so tonight we'll continue from verses 11.
7.
I just said that. 7 o'clock. So, prasadam will be afterwards. It'll be a feast. So don't worry about prasad. We'll be eating late. Late means 8:30. Okay, so. First we'll have the award ceremony, then we'll say prasad afterwards. You don't have to worry about yourself. Just come on time, 7 o'clock and then.
7 to 8:30, such a long time.
There's a lot to do. It's a great achievement in ISKCON that some devotees have finished their Bhakti Vaibhav course. We can't rush these things. Actually, an hour and a half is not sufficient. Mm-hmm. Even one evening of Lord Brahma is not sufficient. It is. So we'll try to condense it as much as we can, but it will take an hour and a half. So it's very significant, so it has to be done properly, as much as we can. Actually, it won't be enough time, so we'll just continue. Yeah. So, last week we began chapter 6. So you'll see in chapter 6, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking very powerfully and directly to the conditioned souls to cut their illusion. Sadhu means one who cuts. Or one who destroys our attachments within our heart. So, Prahlad Maharaj, being one of the 12 Mahajanas, one of the great authorities on Bhagavad Dharma, on Krishna consciousness, he is speaking very directly, very powerfully, to cut our material attachments in this material world. So, he has already said that from the very beginning of your life, means, Komara means from when you are born to when you are 5 years old, you should be educated in Krishna consciousness. Because at this point in time, he is preaching, he is only 5 years old himself. So he's preaching. You must be educated from the very beginning of your life. And you must understand that human life is not meant for sense gratification, which is available to hogs and dogs. This has already been spoken by Lord Rishabh. Prahlad Maharaj doesn't use these exact words, but it's the same teaching which he's given. So do not involve yourself simply in sense gratification. Do not involve yourself simply in household life. And do not engage yourself simply in accumulating money. So tonight we'll go from verses 11 to 23. He will continue with these teachings in the same spirit to try to cut our attachments from this material world. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her father's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items and household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silk worm, which weaves a cocoon, in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape?
In household affairs, the first attraction is the beautiful and pleasing wife, who increases household attraction more and more. One enjoys his wife with two prominent sense organs, namely the tongue and the genitals. The wife speaks very sweetly. This is certainly an attraction. Then she prepares very palatable foods to satisfy the tongue. And when the tongue is satisfied, one gains strength in the other sense organs, especially the genitals. Thus the wife gives pleasure in sexual intercourse. Household life means sex life. This is encouraged by the tongue. Then there are children. A baby gives pleasure by speaking sweet words in broken language. And when the sons and daughters are grown up, one becomes involved in their education and marriage. Then there are one's own father and mother to be taken care of. And one also becomes concerned with the social atmosphere and with pleasing his brothers and sisters. A man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Thus, the household becomes graham under cooper, a dark well into which the man has fallen. For such a man, to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master, who helps the fallen person with the strong rope of spiritual instructions. A fallen person should take advantage of this rope, and then the spiritual master or the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna will take him out of the dark world.
Any points?
Also, I would say great and the pupam, and spiritual master is giving you the rope, so you can pull out with the help of rope. And then Krishna mercy will help you get out.
Anything else?
Well, you don't come up with the painting of the girl's salon without the help of the spiritual master.
Prahlad sees this. The babies in the womb should be taught like Prahlad Maharaj was taught by another person. And when they are born, before they are born, if they are spiritually advanced, if they know, then the heart is so peaceful. and the second thing is nothing happens to the Radhakrishna, then he is the ultimate good, puts out everybody. So we need his mercy.
Good. Anything else? Does that mean you'll be my secretary in the spiritual world as well? You're welcome. Does that mean the relationship is eternal? Can you put up with me for that long? Thank you. Any other points? So what keeps us caught in this material world? Why are we attached to the material world?
Maya.
Maya? Yeah, because of our tongue and our genitals. This is what keeps us down in this material world. So even though some people, they become free from this attachment to the tongue and to the genitals, like that. But most of the living entities in the material world, they're just attached. You look at the animal life, that's all it is, really. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So eating and sleeping are simply the genitals and the tongue. So basically, this is what keeps everyone in the material world bound. You're attached to the tongue and to the genitals. And therefore, we cannot escape from the material energy. It is like being caught in a cage which has golden bars. Because as long as you are appearing to enjoy the tongue and the genitals, you think it's okay, I will stay here. There is no problem. Actually, it's not so bad. Just like in prison, the prisoners think, well, if I have a computer in my cell, then it's not so bad. Or if I have Xbox in my cell, then it's not so bad. So simply, we are attached in the material world to the tongue and to the genitals. And that is what the whole material world is based upon. The pleasure which comes from trying to enjoy the tongue and the genitals. So that is the potency of the material energy, and that is how the material energy keeps everyone bound in this material world, basically. Most people are bound just by this apparent pleasure in the material world. Now, the tongue is the most difficult of all the senses to control. Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said that. Before we take prasadam, we sing this prayer, Sharirara Vijijo. So when you sing that prayer, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious. If you can control the tongue, you can control the other senses. If you can't control the tongue, it's very difficult to control the other senses. So the tongue is the most voracious, it is the most difficult to control. The tongue has two functions. One is eating, and the other one is talking. Now, Rupa Goswami said that you must control both of these. Achahara, Priyashacha. So achahara means overeating, over-endeavoring or overeating, like that. So overeating means one cannot control the tongue. Very difficult to control the tongue. And he says prajalpa. Prajalpa is the other function of the tongue. Very hard for people not to talk nonsense. Or, people are very attached to speaking material subject matters. So in order to purify the tongue, one has to engage the tongue in speaking about spiritual subject matters. And actually Bhishma, Dave, who is another of the 12 Mahajans, he says if you go back to the first canto, when he's giving his final instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthira, Bhishma says that gravity comes from silence. One becomes grave when one becomes silent. So how do you control the tongue? One way is not to speak so much. Practice in silence. In other words, if you don't have something to say which is spiritually relevant, then do not speak so much. It's very powerful, actually. Many people have realizations when they take more of a rut, when they control their desire to speak. Because many people in the material world, they just like to hear the sound of their own voice. They just like to speak for the sake of speaking, but it just leads to absorption in your absorption of your consciousness in the material energy. So one has to control his tongue. You have to learn to control your speech. Even when devotees get together, a lot of the time, we just speak prajapa. We just speak gossip. Just grumi katha. What's going on in the village? What's going on in the Melbourne temple? Like that. But it's not particularly enlightening. That is why one has to regularly hear and chant Krishna katha. Topics specifically related to Krishna. That is the purpose of courses like the Bhakti Shastri, the Bhakti Vaibhava, the Bhakti Vedanta, the Bhakti Sarvabhauma. All these courses are meant to give us an opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna directly. When we hear the classes, the Bhagavatam class, every morning, it's an opportunity to hear and chant about Krishna directly. Now, if you do that regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, if you're regularly hearing and chanting about Krishna, then outside of class time, outside of that time when you're hearing Shastra, you'll have more inclination to speak about Krishna. You won't waste your time. And you see, devotees who do not hear and chant regularly, then they speak a lot of prajapa too much of the time. Of course, when we get together, we always have some social, not like we speak about the Bhagavatam all the time. But there must be some portion which is relevant to Krishna, which is related to Krishna. And we can have small talk and friendly dealings, that's okay. But not all, that's not all of our connection. Now, the other function of the tongue is to taste palatable dishes. So Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the Nectar of Instruction, everyone likes to taste nice food, nice prasadam. Everyone has that inclination of that. But we have to learn to control the tongue. When you can control the tongue, means it's good sometimes for devotees to take brats where they have to eat simply. Just like sometimes when Kartik comes or even Chaturmasya comes, devotees, they won't eat opulent prasad for 1 month or for 4 months. So regularly we should do this. We should practice some sense control. Just like on Ekadashi, which is tomorrow, it's a good day. Many devotees do not eat on Ekadashi. Prabhupada even said it's good if we fast on Ekadashi. Or eat simply. Half the time at the temple, the prasadam is more opulent on the Ekadashi. It's all curd and paneer and like that. Not so good for sense control. So you have to learn to control the tongue. Which means you can eat palatable food, but Prabhupada's formula was actually we should eat sumptuously once a week. Once a week we can have a feast, we can have some nice, but the rest of the time we should eat quite simply. And that is very good, because if you can control your tongue, then you can control the other senses much more easily. If you can't control your tongue in what you speak and what you eat, it's very hard to control your senses on every other level. And then you can't get out of the material world. Simply to enjoy the tongue and the genitals, people come back lifetime after lifetime. As long as I can enjoy the pleasure coating of Prabhupada says, the pleasure coating of the genitals. If we can enjoy the genitals, lifetime up, we'll just keep coming back into the material world again and again and again. Srila Prabhupada says in the very first purport of the Bhagavatam, he says, sex life is the active principle in the material world. The whole material world is just going on because of sex life, right? Just because of sexual pleasure. Everyone is bound in the material energy. So these two senses are very powerful, and basically the entire material creation is based upon enjoying and exploiting these two. So they need to be controlled, is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Now, Prabhupada points out in the purport, we have to transfer our attachment to the opposite sex, to a spiritual personality, a great spiritual entity. Because in the material world, everyone's attached to the husband or the wife, the opposite sex. Right? So everyone becomes very attached. Vridaya grantim ahu means a strong knot is formed within the heart. The only thing which is more powerful than that is attachment to a great saintly personality. So Prabhupada says the guru will pull us out of this material world. How? When we become more attached to the spiritual master than to any of the relationships we have in this material world. So you have to look in your own life. Who are you most attached to in this world? Right? Someone who you have a bodily relationship with, or to your spiritual master? Where is the greatest attachment? And if your attachment is to the guru, to a spiritual personality, that will take you out of the material world. But if your greatest attachment is to someone in this material world based on the bodily relationship, that will keep you in this material world, lifetime after lifetime. So the Bhagavad Gita has already said, we have to transfer that attachment to the opposite sex, to a great spiritual personality, and that will lift us out of the material world once and for all. So, any points?
Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right in the beginning, 3.6, Kanyendiyani Sayamya Aste Mansasman, Indiyaka Bhumunatma Vithyachar Sochati. So the person is always thinking of the other thing except Krishna. All Vithyachar.
Yeah, do not be Mithyachar, do not be a pretender. Any other points?
Ananda Das Babaji, he was so simple. He used to collect all the food which was lying on the outside after eating by the girl. He had enough to eat and he used to wash it and try to hide it from Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu, one time he got it. And so he said, so good, why didn't you bring me the food?
We should not imitate this kind of thing.
Yes,
this is first class intelligence. First class intelligence means you just observe it, or you just hear it, and you realize it. Second class intelligence is all of us. Right? We heard it, but still we had to get married. Still we have to enter the material world to get realization. And third class intelligence means that you just keep making mistakes again and again. So someone who's very advanced, they just hear and then they realize it's all true. I can see it. He can just look around himself. He can see that everyone is attached in the material world. He doesn't have to go through it to understand.
So when they ask the question to his disciples, so which is the most delivering of all the ashrams, so many of his disciples, some of them say that it is Samyam Ashram.
Why?
Because it says that the girls must maintain all the military ashrams, and it is very safe for the people to be excluded in advance.
So is that why you became a greenhouse then? Out of compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls?
Any
other points?
Did Prahlad Maharaj get married?
Yeah, he was a grihastha. Yeah, but he's a kshatriya. Kshatriyas, they get married. They don't. The only exemption was Bhishma Dev. He took that powerful bride. But the other kshatriyas, they won't do that. Lord Ram appeared in the kshatriya. Krishna appeared in the Chaturya family. Priyavrata was asked to come back. Like that. So as Chaturya, Swayambhu, Manu, if you look at the Mahajanas, Brahma, Shiva, Kumaras, they renounced. Like that. Kapila, renounced, right? But you see, most of them are kshatriyas, and kshatriyas, it's their dharma too. But then Lord Ramachandra, he took ekapatni brata, like that. So he was showing a very strong example. But you see, with Priyabrata, then he wasn't attached, even though he came back into the ashram on the request of Brahma and Narada, but he wasn't attached. So because of Prahlad's position in Varna, in ashram, then he will take Grihastha. So only the Brahmanas don't get married. So some Brahmanas get married, many Brahmanas get married, but some do not. But the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sutras, they get married. I mean, you read his teachings, he's not attached. But, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not attached. Srila Prabhupada was not attached. But still, they're grihasthas. Okay. So just because you're a grihastha doesn't mean you're attached. Yeah, because usually we are grihasthas, we are attached. That's why we are grihasthas. Any other questions? Yeah, the women generally, they always get married. That's their position in the Vedic culture. The father looks after them, then the husband, and then the son.
So I mean, if they are taught to be Krishna conscious from the beginning, so they want to be attached to Krishna rather than each other.
Everyone in the material world should be attached to Krishna. That's the point. Whether you're a husband or a wife or a child or a father, we should be attached to Krishna. We should be.
Actually, we should see Krishna in everybody.
That's the idea, yeah. Most of us are not on that platform, so we don't get married or have children just because we're pure devotees. Mm-hmm. Some people do. Most of us do because we have material attachments and material desires.
Yes. More realistic to say, instead of saying not get attached, to say it's regulated. When we're saying not attached, it doesn't help us to practically live in life. So what does it mean? What does it really mean to say not attached? Instead, if you can say we should lead a regulated life, that gives some sense of implementation.
Not attached means not attached to the material side of the relationship.
What does it mean, actually?
It means that not atmendriya priti, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The definition of prema is krishnendriya priti. That you are using your senses to give pleasure to Krishna. That's the definition of prema. The definition of kaam or lust is atmendriya priti, which means we are using our senses for our own purpose, to enjoy. So if you're married to someone or you have a family or you have children, but if there's some atmendriya priti, the relationship is based on giving you satisfaction to your mind and your body, then there's still some attachment there, it's not pure.
Yeah, the very fact that you got married itself means that there is a desire for fulfilling the sense requirement. So having entered the Grihastha Ashram, then what should be the next step? Otherwise everybody should be a brahmachari, isn't it? Or brahmachari. You're not talking that.
Yeah, that's the point I was making to Mataji. You see, basically everyone has contaminated senses. It says in the 12th canto in the Bhagavatam, except for Narayana Narayan, Everyone else is attached to the material world. So it means all of us. That's why I keep saying. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was in Grihastha Ashram, but he was not attached. Prabhupada was in Grihastha Ashram, he was not attached. But we're not like that.
And we can't say Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not attached. He was attached, but regulated. Because he had 10 children
of people. Yeah, but there was no material attachment. That's the point. Regulated means sadhana. That means still controlling desire. Whereas a self-realized soul, like Prahlad Maharaj is an example, there is no material desire because prema has burnt all the material desire. Well, there was no material desire to begin with. They've come from the spiritual world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur came from the spiritual world. He says that in his writings. He says, I have come on a manjari. Prabhupada was also from the spiritual world. So although they may have gone through the material world, it wasn't a question of regulation. What's to regulate? Regulate means we're regulating. Okay, we have sex desire, so therefore regulate it. But that doesn't count or doesn't apply to someone who's self-realized. Any other points?
Suppose you are just thinking, some men, they get married. And the wife needs the house, she needs the clothes, she needs jewelry, she needs love. That's all right, provided a bit of that. But some men, what they do, they become so attached that they do whatever the wife wants, and they even neglect their parents, old parents.
And
so that is attachment.
You speaking about anyone in particular?
No. I've seen so many. See? So the old parents, they really, they want their son, and they want some affection from me. And he doesn't even go to the mission. So don't you think that's attachment?
You sure it's not someone you know?
I know so many in India. And I have read so many stories as well. It's amazing.
It is all true.
Huh?
It is all true.
So that is the attachment. You do your duty.
That's overly attached. Everyone in the material world is attached,
yes.
But then that's overly attached, that's too much.
Yes. So you do your duty of everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
One who is too attached cannot understand that he is wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he is very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. Amala, would you like to read that?
A foolish man does not understand the value of human life, nor does he understand how he is wasting his valuable life simply for the maintenance of his family members. He is expert in calculating the loss of pounds, shillings, and pence. But he is so foolish that he does not know how much money he is losing, even according to his considerations. Chanakya Pandit gives the example that a moment of life cannot be purchased in exchange of millions of dollars. A foolish person, however, wastes such a valuable life without knowing how much he is losing, even according to monetary calculations. Although materialistic person is expert in calculating cost and in business, he does not realize that he is misusing his costly life for want of knowledge. Even though such a materialistic person is always suffering threefold miseries, he is not intelligent enough to seize the materialistic way of life.
What do you think?
I'm getting hammered in this two shlokas.
painful.
It's painful.
This is the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam will cut our attachments in the throat. That's why you have to study the Bhagavatam every day, because it will cut the attachments to the throat.
I think coming into the Bhagavatam after so many years not being with not just that, but I think it's just growing. I think it's just growing up, trying to understand, make sure it's working.
So, as Prabhupada is pointing out, everybody in this material world is attached to the material energy. And because we're attached to the material energy, we become complacent. And then we think, everything is okay here, I can enjoy here. Even though we are suffering, continuously we're suffering because of the threefold miseries of the material energy. But still, we think, I can enjoy. And the famous example that we often give is the example of Indra, who became cursed by Brihaspati to become a pig. But once he was a pig, then he was happy. That's the nature of the material world. That when we fall into Maya, we become satisfied, become complacent. And then, as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the material energy has two shaktis. One is the covering potency, one is the throwing down potency. So, for the devotees, when we try to get out of the material world, the Maya tests us and she pulls us back. But for most of the living entities, they are just sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya. They're just complacent. She just covers them with the material energy. And they think, okay, even though I am suffering in this material world from the threefold miseries of material life, but still, it is okay because my tongue is getting a little bit of satisfaction, my genitals are a little bit satisfied, and my football team won on Saturday night. I was listening to the news on the way up in the car. You know, I was in, put the radio on, listened to the news. And my old football team won the, defeated the top team like that. So then in my heart, I thought, yes. Yes. We won. I was so happy. But this is the nature, because, you know, I'm a devotee, so therefore it's balanced. You know, but it's funny because our attachment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually says, even for a pure devotee, he becomes attached to his place of birth. You become attached to your place of birth. Even a pure devotee becomes attached to his place of birth,
right,
and to his family and his race, his people. So this is even for the pure devotee. The material energy will make one life identify like that. I think that was funny because as soon as I heard that, my old football team won. Immediately I felt yes. Because I'm a devotee, then I don't take it so seriously. You know, I don't go to the shop and buy the jumper and then put the jumper on. You know, change my license plate. You know, so it's, you know, different colours and get, you know, I don't get absorbed in it. But the materialists, they get covered by the material energy, so much so they become absorbed in the material energy completely. And you lose track. You lose perspective of the reality of the material world. So that is the potency of the material energy. Everyone becomes attached and then they become very complacent. And they think there's no impetus to get out of the material world. It's fine here. Even though I'm being whipped, even though I'm suffering, even though there's so many difficulties, it's okay. Yeah. Because I have these little children and I have my wife and I have my job and I have my car and just all these attachments, and they keep us in the material world. No? The Bhagavatam explains that when the male donkey goes to the female donkey for sex life, he gets kicked in the face. No? So this is the nature of the material world. No? Between the opposite sex. No? We're always getting kicked like that. But then we think, oh no, I can enjoy a little bit, so then I'll just keep going back. But the nature of the material world is we're continuously being kicked. Actually, I heard the other day, He's holding this banner, Swami. He said, Grihastha life is inauspicious. It is inauspicious. That is Grihastha life. It is not auspicious. What is auspicious? Because you're in the material world. It's just a material body. So as long as you're attached to the material body, it's inauspicious. It is only meant for suffering. But, Bhana Swami said, because there has to be something. Otherwise, you just think, oh my God. He said, but by the power of the holy name of Krishna, it rectifies all the inauspicious attributes of the age of Kali. So married life or grihastha life becomes auspicious when the members of the family are chanting the holy names of Krishna. But without chanting, then it's inauspicious. And you see that, actually. You see, when the family begins to neglect their bhakti, their Krishna consciousness, everything just turns into mayhem. Everyone just begins to argue with each other and place unfair demands on each other, and there's quarrel and hypocrisy. So much difficulty. Even in family life in Kali Yuga, so many difficulties. But if you're chanting the holy name of Krishna, everything becomes supremely auspicious. That is the potency of chanting in Kali Yuga. Even when you're in the deepest, darkest situation, even when you're deeply in the well of grihastha life, you can be completely happy and satisfied only by performing devotional service. Any points?
What is the other function?
What was that?
Oh, you said comfort
and other. Yeah, there's another potency which pulls the devotees down. Maya has one shakti where she covers the non-devotees.
Yes.
And for the devotees, when we try to get out of the material world, then she pulls us back. It's in Chaitanya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned. So for devotees, when we try to progress the Maya, she pulls us back. Yeah, because when you repeatedly try to get out, then eventually Krishna says, okay, just let go. He says to Maya. Just like one of the devotees was giving an example, just like the little ant, right? He keeps trying to climb up and then he falls down. And he climbs up and then he falls down. And he climbs up and he falls down. So eventually, that devotee was chanting his japa, he was watching the ant, was trying to climb and kept falling. Then he felt compassion. So he picked up the ant and he helped it get to where it wanted to go. So when we are trying very hard, just like the little sparrow, we are trying, 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 then Garuda will come and just say, okay. So Krishna will help us when he sees we try. But we have to keep trying, keep trying, keep trying.
Yes,
true. Yeah, you don't have to have any fear. If you run out of money, you just come and live with me. I'll look after you.
Will they be paying the normal board?
In my house. You can live with Guru Raj.
what Prabhupada is saying is very, very true. I bought one big building, then I bought second one and third one. And to buy the third one, I can talk any nonsense, any lies, anything. Get over. Just like a dream.
Chanakya says that poverty is the source of all bad qualities. So what you're saying is true. Because when people get into poverty, they're so much in stress and then so much difficulty that they, so many bad qualities, even in a good person, so many bad qualities are generated. So poverty is a very bad thing like that. But we don't have to worry because Krishna, He always provides for devotees even more than what they need.
And if you read Bhagavatam, there are so many examples of the poverty is shipping people. And they live such simple lives. But the banana seller.
Kolavecha.
And?
Kolavecha.
Yeah. And then there was this Brahman, he was so poor, but he just heard that somebody can do the worship by just meditating, and he used to bring the water in the golden pot, and he used to bathe in meditation, he used to do everything. And at the end, he got burnt in the head as well. He would try to touch the crazy man in meditation. So if you read Bhagavatam, then you would be like,
yeah, there's no anxiety for devotees because we have the shelter of ISKCON. So what's the anxiety? Like if everything falls apart and we don't have anything, just go to Mayapur and do some service, they'll give you somewhere to live, and what's the problem? You and your wife can sleep on the floor, and you know, you can have some sabji for lunch and you can do some seva. So for devotees there's no anxiety. Yes? If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance is unable to control his senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. Although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the law of the government and by the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating others to acquire money. So, the whole world at this point in time, the whole world is absorbed in this type of consciousness. It's just absorbed in material acquisition. Everyone just thinks, I need to get this, or I need to get that, and if I get more, I'll be successful. And this house is not big enough, or expensive enough, or I need another house, and then I need an investment property. And then it goes on and on and on. This is the way the material world is at this point in time. So, the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us we should become Goswamis. Goswamis, we should have control of our senses. Whereas the non-devotees, they don't have any control. Their senses are not controlled, so they're just absorbing their consciousness in material acquisition. Devotees are different. We're not absorbed like that. Even though we may play the same game that they're playing. Right? We may work jobs, we may get high salaries, we may invest, right, and accumulate properties and then even investment properties to create security for our families, right? But we're Goswamis. That means we have control of our senses. In other words, the test is, are you thinking of Krishna? Or are you simply thinking of material life? Because what are the non-devotees thinking about? They're just thinking about their houses and their everything like that. Even in Vrindavan, there's one... I used to stay in one ashram, and next door, there was he was one of the richest men in Vrindavan. His family owned half of Vrindavan, practically, in terms of land acquisition. They were landlords for about half of Vrindavan. But he lived next door to where I was staying, and the devotee who owned the ashram that I was staying in, he knew this rich person. But he said that he could not sleep at night. He had to always take sleeping pills, right? And he had ulcers in his stomach through anxiety because he's always thinking about his properties and his investments. And he had about 10 men with machine guns outside his house all the time to guard him. Because otherwise the Dacoits would just drive down the road in a truck and everyone would just jump out and start shooting everyone and going and killing them. Like that. So it's always, he had like at least 10 guys with, you know, machine guns always in front of his house. So there's no peace of mind. So devotees, we may do the same thing as the non-devotees, but our consciousness is different. You know, if we're getting absorbed in material acquisition and investment properties, and if that's what our thoughts are always on, then we're missing the point of the Bhagavatam. The point of the Bhagavatam is to be a Goswami, to be in control of your senses, to think of Krishna. And these other things we just do, right, out of necessity. So we create some security for our families and so on. But our consciousness should not become absorbed in these things. It's a very fine line. Any points? Well, my friends, sons of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider, this is mine and that is for others. Thus, they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life, just like uneducated cats and dogs. They are unable to take the true spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. So Prabhupada emphasized in the purport that we should receive spiritual education. Otherwise, we just become ignorant. What is the problem with modern day society? Lack of spiritual education, and therefore everyone is simply covered by ignorance. They don't understand the higher purpose of life. So devotees, we should get a spiritual education. So what is the purpose of this course? And what is the purpose of all of our courses that we run? What is the purpose of our temple? Prabhupada said that the temples are spiritual education centers. So everyone who comes here should be spiritually educated. That is the point of ISKCON, to spiritually educate and enlighten the masses. So the people understand what is the actual goal of life. So they do not remain ignorant, do not remain foolish. So we should enlighten people, which is difficult, because everyone's just absorbed in material energy. But we should try to enlighten them to something higher. And then Prabhupada says at the end of that paragraph, he says, specifically, at a certain point one must give up family life and take to the renounced order of life to cultivate spiritual knowledge and become liberated. So Prabhupada is saying that the whole point of Grihastha Ashram is to cultivate detachment. As Grihasthas, we're not supposed to be becoming more attached. If you're becoming more attached as a Grihastha, then you're not following the ashram properly. The whole point of Grihastha life is to become more detached. Externally, you may keep doing all the same things. Right? Externally, as a Grihastha, you keep going on, you know, wife, children, job, wife, children, job, wife, children, job. Rama, Rama, hurry, hurry, wife, children, job, wife, children, job. You just keep going on doing all the same things. But in your heart, you should be becoming detached. You should not be becoming more and more attached. When you're a young Grihastha, you're attached. You know, because you're married. Right, your wife is still beautiful, right? And then you have your kids. But as you get older, right, then everything changes. So as we get older, we should be cultivating detachment, not more and more attachment. You see, the Grihasthas in this world, they become just as attached when they're 80 as when they were when they were 20, practically speaking. Just like a Jamyon, very attached. Now, like my grandfather, he's still really quite attached. It's not really any different to what he was when he was young. Maybe a little bit, but still doing the same activities. Now he's 86, I think. Still doing the same activities when he was young, Grihastha. This is not the point. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is women. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to the material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are the sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the origin of all the demigods, because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayana is liberation from the bondage of material existence. So it is very difficult in this modern society because we are surrounded by demons. Right? What is the definition of a demon?
Those who are against Krishna.
What's that?
Those who are against Krishna.
Yeah, or in other words, one who wants to enjoy separately from Krishna.
Yeah.
That is a demon. So the whole material society these days is asuric. It is demoniac. Because everyone wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. Does anyone at your work ever say to you, I'll see you at Mangalasi tomorrow? Or would you like to study the Bhagavad Gita at lunch break? Or would you like to try this prasadam that my wife put me in my lunchbox? Or, you know, how many rounds have you chanted today? No one says this. Why? Because everyone is asuric. Asuric means they want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So what is the danger of this kind of association? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, you must be very careful of associating with women and those who are attached to women. And actually, of the two, those who are attached to women are even more dangerous than associating with the opposite sex. Now, for women it means men. For men it means women. So Lord Chaitanya says, it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, be very careful about associating with the opposite sex. But even more dangerous than that is associating with people who are attached to enjoying with the opposite sex. And that's basically everyone in this material world. That's what they talk about. And you are constantly bombarded by their prajalpa. And they speak about all sorts of material subject matters. Very difficult. That's why I admire all of you so much, because it's so difficult to be Krishna conscious when you're surrounded by non-devotees all the time. My life is very sheltered. I don't associate with non-devotees very much, but you have to associate with them all the time. And even though you're associating with them, still you maintain your Krishna consciousness. So that is very glorious. But the Bhagavad Gita is warning us, be very careful about associating with demons. So Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends, be very careful about associating with demons, which means all of your family. Very difficult. Because all of your family are demons. Everyone in our country, they are demons. Which means they all want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So it's very difficult. So Mahaprabhu says, Asatsanga, Tyaga. E Vaishnava Acha. We have to avoid the association of demons. So that means when you go to work tomorrow and your boss comes to speak to you, you say, I cannot speak to you because you are asura. You're envious of God. And you're trying to enjoy separately from God. So therefore, we cannot associate intimately. Just send me an email. But I don't want to listen to your prajalpa. But Prabhupada says in the purport, what is the... because it's not practical. We can't go into the workplace or into the material world and not associate with the non-devotees. So Prabhupada says we have to inoculate ourselves. Which means you have to have very strong sadhana. So by the time you get to the office, you're already inoculated. You've already disinfected yourself. You've already purified your consciousness So when you go into their association, you won't become affected, but they'll become affected by you. They'll become affected. They will think these Hare Krishnas, they are really enjoying life. Let me also become a devotee of Krishna. If you go to Vrindavan, into Prabhupada's rooms in Vrindavan, and you'll see in his museum, there's a little notebook. And Prabhupada wrote in the book, wrote in the notebook, it might have been when he went to meet Indira Gandhi, because he had that meeting with Indira Gandhi. Or, I don't know if that was that time or, but he writes in the notebook, and he says, close all the slaughterhouses, and he says, all the MPs in the government should be Brahmanas, initiated Brahmanas. Prabhupada actually writes this in little notes that Prabhupada makes. And then he says, in all factories, there should be Sankirtan at lunchtime. So at lunchtime, it should be sponsored by the factory. Everyone comes together, has prasad, and does Sankirtan. So maybe you can mention these things to your companies. See what you can do. Because by your association, you can purify the demons. Just like I gave that example of Sadananda Prabhu. You know Sadananda?
Yeah.
He lives in Adelaide now. So in his company, where he used to work when he was in Melbourne, he wore tilak every day, like that, uncompromising. And every day in the company, when everyone walked past him in the morning, and they said good morning, or hello, or hi, or how are you doing, Sammy, like that, he wouldn't answer them unless they said Hari Bol. So he got everyone in the office in the morning, everyone had to say Hari Bol. He trained them, otherwise he would get to ignore them.
So,
Satananda. Satananda Krishna, Adi Purush Krishna Das, his son. Satananda. Do you know Satananda?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he had the whole office chanting Hari Bol. And once a month they would have a lunch for the office, and he would insist it had to be a Gopal. He insisted. Because he said, I cannot eat any other food, so it has to be a Gopal. And they all agreed. Because they went there once, they said, okay, it's good, so we'll keep going. So by your association, you should purify your whole company. Nay. The whole nation. Srila Prabhupada says, nay. The whole universe. You should purify everyone. Everyone who comes in contact with you, they should get some benefit. They should become purified. They should learn about Krishna. Something. Even if you just get them to say Hari Bol.
Yeah, Prabhuji, but people are so envious. I know somebody who gave a Bhagavad Gita to his boss, and the boss somehow manipulated and he got attacked.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
People are so envious.
Be practical. Be careful.
Most of them are envious.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be practical. You have to know how much to give. Don't give too much, don't give too little. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, is the original Super Soul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions. Whether one be a child or an old man, the relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that it is impossible to please the people in this world. Right? Hands up if you can keep your wife perfectly happy. Hands up if you can keep your husband perfectly happy.
I can't keep
him. You can't keep him?
I can't keep happy, yeah.
Not possible. Doesn't matter how much we put into the relationships in this world, we can't keep everyone perfectly satisfied. It doesn't work. Doesn't matter how much you give them or what you do for them. Right? So this Prabhupada actually says the material world is impossible. It's impossible to keep everyone happy in this world. Doesn't matter what you give them, they'll still criticize you. But, Prabhupada said, it is very easy to please Krishna. You just do a little bit of service for Krishna. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Just a little bit of service for Krishna. And he becomes so satisfied. He becomes easily pleased. Where in the material world, we waste so much time and so much energy in making our wife happy or our husband happy or everyone in this world, but then they're not happy with us. Doesn't matter how much we give, they're never satisfied. Whereas Krishna, we just give him a little bit of service and he becomes so much indebted and so much grateful, and he reciprocates with us practically unlimitedly. So Prabhupada is emphasizing, Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing, serve Krishna. Because he is the one who will actually reciprocate him and satisfy you. And he will be satisfied. Krishna is satisfied. Everyone in this world is not satisfied.
That's what I keep on telling him. That I can see the Lord, but I can't see you.
Telling
who? My husband.
You should not even speak disrespectfully to him. You should just offer your obeisances and just...
Sorry?
You should just offer your obeisances and just...
Oh, yeah.
Wave the chamra.
No.
No.
Thank you very much.
That's sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic. Sometimes you should offer peacock fans.
Okay.
That's be more respect for the husbands.
Okay.
You can't just say whatever you want to him. I don't know where you people get this from. You should read the Bhagavatam more. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable. How do you say it?
Indefatigable.
One person said it.
Indefatigable.
Is present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, Stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental supersoul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cause of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading supersoul. But actually, he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchit Ananda. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist he appears non-existent. So, a devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he's preaching to these friends, you should see Krishna everywhere. And then we'll see in the next few chapters, he was seeing Krishna everywhere. His father said, do you see him in this pillar? Mm-hmm. He said, yes. Because he sees Krishna everywhere. So that is the consciousness of a pure devotee. Everything reminds him of Krishna. He never forgets Krishna. Always remembers Krishna and never forgets Krishna. So that is what the Bhagavatam is leading us towards. That is what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. We should see Krishna everywhere. At all times, in all places, everything should remind us of Krishna. And if you're like that, then you'll always be blissful, even in the material world. So, I'll give you your key memory verses for the next section. Not everyone's here, but for those who are here, I'll give them to you tonight. And tomorrow night I'll give them again. So for this next section, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Verse 31. Canto 7, Chapter 6, verse 1. Canto 7, chapter 6, verse 3. And Canto 7, chapter 9, verse 10. So 7.5.31, 7.6.1, 7.6.3, and 7.9.10. So I mentioned to a number of you last week to let me know about who was coming for Burujan Prabhu's retreat. Devotees keep telling me they're coming, so I need to know who is coming. And you need to give me a payment if you are coming, so we can organize the retreat properly. And these are your open book topics for the next section. So I'll hand them out, and then we'll hand them out again tomorrow night, because not everyone will see it.
I only take them if you're going to do the open book exam. You're not doing the open book exam. You can just take it, find the pass on.
Sure, Prabhupada Ki.